Hey everyone, it's Jess.
I'm Jen. I'm still Jen. Always Jen.
We are Fat Mascara and we are back for another week of beauty news.
We're Fat Mascara. I like it. It's like our band name now.
Yeah, Fat Mascara, rocking the house. We are excited to be back with you. I feel like we're gathering around, you know,
yes,
every Wednesday or whenever you listen to us. We've got a lot to talk about. We know it's been a tough week, a rough week.
All over the world.
Yeah. And we thank you. We hope everyone is hanging in and staying safe. And if you are joining us this week, we thank you for coming back and hope that we can provide a little bit of a break for everyone.
On that note, what are we going to talk about this week? Let's see.
So first up, I just want to issue a correction. An episode or two ago, we talked about deep stuff, bikini line bumpies. If you are like me and are taking bikini line grooming into your own hands during the quarantine, you may be experiencing some bikini line bumpies. And I asked my good pal, Dr. Ranella Hirsch, how to handle this. I came at you with a lot of great tips. And one of those was to treat with over-the-counter hydrocortisone. I was so caught up in her tips, so excited, just like going crazy. And I said 10% hydrocortisone. And a couple of you guys, I like you guys because you're so informed. And you wrote me some friendly criticism, a correction. And you said,
correction.
A correction.
They fact checked us.
And one of the emails was from a registered nurse and said, you cannot get, I said 10% hydrocortisone. They said, you cannot get 10% hydrocortisone at like a CVS. It's 1%. And I looked back at my notes from Ranella. And of course, Ranella said 1%. Guys, sometimes I just get really excited and carried away.
But if you have inflamed skin bumps, you want to look for 1% topical hydrocortisone
cream.
Yes,
I'm really sorry. So editor's note, I was wrong. And I hope you'll stick with me. I do not tend to make these kind of mistakes. And I'm really excited that you guys are so informed and kind to correct me kindly. So we are going to also hit you with the headlines of the week, Jen, right?
Correct. And we also have sunscreen news to share with everyone. And then our guest is, I think it's really timely right now. We have Dr. Amy Wexler. She's a board-certified psychiatrist and dermatologist. So we're going to talk about the link between mental health and your skin. So that should be really interesting. You ready to do it?
We had so much news to discuss. It has been a week. Even though there's been so much going on in the world, beauty doesn't stop.
It doesn't. So first up, in the week following George Floyd's murder here in the United States, as protests unfolded around the world, the beauty and fashion industry was having its own reckoning, rightfully so. And, you know, we're all taking a closer look at how racism permeates the way we do business. We're doing that here at Fat Mascara as well. One change we saw that we thought was really interesting, it was a call to action from designer Aurora James. So she's a fashion designer, but on her Instagram, she was asking American retailers, people like Sephora, Target, Saks Fifth Avenue, a lot of the places we all shop for beauty, to pledge 15% of their shelf space to Black-owned businesses, which is, if that doesn't make sense to you, if you're not in the United States, that's because in America, the population is about 15% Black. And I thought that was a really interesting way to like put your money where your mouth is. Like, we can't all just be talking about how we want to be better in the future. If you can do hard numbers of, you know, sharing Black-owned beauty businesses, that's a really great way to help move this conversation forward.
Yeah, I like that it was very actionable and it's something that you can see and it gives people an actual, sometimes at work, they talk about like SMART goals and, you know, it's like an actionable, like quantifiable thing. And there's a lot of lip service happening right now. And I think a lot of it is, you know, people mean well, but it's like, okay, what are you going to do about it?
And we should say here at Fat Mascara, we too have been thinking about it. So Jess and I vow to, going forward, continue to show a diversity of voices in the interviews that we do here and also increase the number of Black-owned beauty businesses that we talk about. So when we talk about products, you know, we're not always calling out who the founder is, but we're going to do our best in the future to make sure that we're really diverse with the types of brands that we feature and just let you know about more small indie brands that could use your dollars right now.
a lot of you have been asking, you know, where can we shop for Black-owned beauty, or on the Facebook group, there's an amazing thread going on with a lot of you guys sharing Black-owned beauty brands that you love.
Love that. Love that.
It's great. I want to direct you to, you know, Jen and I can certainly rattle off some great brands right now, but I really want to share.
Awoma, Mented, Lauren Napier. Should I stop? Okay, I'm done.
I really want to share our friend Julie Wilson's great Instagram highlight reel. First of all, if the name is familiar, Julie Wilson was Jen's guest co-host when I wasn't available one day. She is fantastic. She is the former Essence Beauty and Style Director. Now she is the Cosmo Beauty Director. Congratulations, Julie. She just got the job a couple months ago. She has this highlight reel of almost 200 right now. So the day we're recording is almost 200 Black-owned beauty and fashion businesses, all small brands. Definitely shop the highlight reel. Julie Wilson is at Miss Julie, M-I-S-S-J-U-L-E-E. Go to her highlight reel. It's right there.
You know what else, Jess? I should add as an update on, she did a Just Beauty version of this for Cosmopolitan.com with 125. So we can link to that on the blog. That was 125 Black-owned beauty brands.
Even better.
You don't have to go on Instagram. Lots of resources.
But follow her too, because she's a really good follower.
Absolutely.
So check it out. I think you're going to be seeing a lot of brands really kind of get with the program, and I think they really all are having a good hard look at themselves if they're paying attention.
Us included. Okay. Next up, Issamaya French is Burberry's new global beauty director. So she's a makeup artist, very artistic, like just like abstract, amazing stuff. She's worked with YSL in the past. She was also with Tom Ford Beauty as a creative artist consultant at one point. And even she's worked with Christian Louboutin too. So Now she's at Burberry, and let's see what she does there.
You know what's interesting about Issamaya French? I think she's really ushered in that very kind of, I would say, like ugly beauty, you know, beauty that is not necessarily meant to seduce or impress. Grotesque.
Yes. It's makeup that isn't enhancing your features, makeup that's like making a statement and looks artistic. She has a really cool aesthetic. So watch what she does at Burberry. Okay. And Jen's Science Corner. You know, I had to. I just read this really interesting study. This was published in the Journal of the American Academy of Dermatology. So there was a survey of people with psoriasis in China during the COVID-19 pandemic there and the quarantine. And they found that resulted in people with psoriasis having negative effects on both their skin condition, the psoriasis, and their mental health. So part of the problem was that people weren't working, so they didn't have money to pay for a lot of their psoriasis treatments. But they corrected for that, and they still found that there was a negative impact from the pandemic. And the thinking is that it was partially because people weren't having outdoor access, and they were more stressed. And that's what, you know, played up the psoriasis. I feel like this is something we'll be talking about with our guest in the interview. So if that's intriguing to you, definitely keep listening through the interview. Another news item. Earlier this spring, America's first Native American beauty brand opened in Window Rock, Arizona, with a storefront, I should say. All of its employees are from the Navajo Nation, and the company, Ashi Beauty, makes high-end skincare and makeup. I actually read about this company in a feature in Beauty Independent, so I'll link to that on the blog. But I love how the owner, her name is Asaki Bala France Sachery, and she describes the products this way, which is just... I just was like smiling when I read this. The quote is, quote, "Our skincare line is 98% botanically based, gentle yet effective. Life is already complicated, and my goal is to make sure our products are uncomplicated and easy to use." Preach, 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 Asaki Ba. I'm like excited to see this brand. I'm going to order some so I can try it out. But for now, just some interesting news. And next up in the business corner. Can I also have a business corner, Jess? Not just the science corner?
Sounds like you got a lot of corners right now.
Okay, fine. Guess what? Charlotte Tilbury has indeed sold a majority stake of her company. It was one of the companies that we talked about was a possible owner, Puig. So Puig is a Spanish conglomerate. They own brands like Jean Paul Gaultier fragrances. They also have a lot of licenses. Prada perfumes is one of their license. They are now the majority stake owner. Charlotte is going to stay on as the chairman, president, and chief creative officer. Unfortunately, I do not have hard numbers for you yet, because I know Jess and I had a bet going on how much they paid for this pretty little company. What do you think, Jess? What did we say?
Oh, I think over $1 billion.
Yeah. So in the next week, I bet you in the reporting, it will come out what that number is, and we will let you know next time we record.
I think, you know, I didn't see Puig as, you know, a player in this fight. I really didn't. But I think it's interesting for them because they don't have a color brand doesn't spring to mind. They don't
They barely even have skincare. They're just so heavy in fragrance.
Yeah, they're so heavy in fragrance, and they also don't have a real personality brand.
Right. Well, they have Shakira. They do Shakira fragrances, but they're all perfume, I think.
But Shakira and Charlotte, like, I just would not even put them in the same. They're not comparable.
Yeah, and they don't have a color brand at all. I looked at their brand portfolio when this news came in, and I was like, this makes a lot of business sense. They obviously realize, like, we can't just be so heavy in fragrance when there's all these other places to play in. So
yeah,
that's the news there. We'll try and find out how much they paid. I want to know.
Let's talk a little bit about numbers.
Exactly. Last item. Let's talk about Kylie Jenner, the beauty entrepreneur. She has sadly lost her billionaire status. So that's according to Forbes, who gave her the billionaire status in the first place. In a recent article, they looked at her cash out from selling her company to Coty and her personal fortune, and they re-estimated it to be a little less than $900 million, which sounds like a lot of money either way, but there's some important facts in this story, right, Jess?
So basically, it's bigger than them being not quite billionaires. The Forbes editors are basically saying that the Jenners have been inflating their success for quite some time. Over the years, the Kardashians have invited the Forbes editors to their mansions and over to their CPA's offices, basically trying to make them look richer than they are. Yeah,
they weren't just looking at tax filings. You know, they were giving it like the full PR press to try and get like a big number for their family so they looked richer, I think.
And, you know, they wanted to have, you know, be on the Forbes list when they were on the number 59 spot. Chris was, according to their publicist, this is in quotes, guys, so frustrated. We've done so much, she said. And then honestly, like the skincare line it launched last year, they said that they did $100 million in revenue the first month and a half, but the filings show that they were on track to finish the year with $25 million in sales. That's 25% of what they claimed.
That's hard math, people. So it just goes to show, like, PR spin and a big, powerful name that doesn't let you just inflate numbers and say you have things that you don't. It's kind of annoying.
So, of course, the Jenners have said that this is all untrue. Let's see how this plays out.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee and you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly.
When it comes to style and luxury, eBay gets it. They're making sure the things that you love are checked by experts. Not just any experts, specialized experts. Real people who love this stuff with real hands-on authentication experience.
So when you see that shiny blue checkmark that says Authenticity Guarantee, shop with confidence. Every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. That's how you know that eBay's got your back.
Because when you finally step into those sneakers, put on that watch, get your real gold glow up, swing that handbag over your shoulder, or step out in that streetwear, you'll realize that feeling is unlike any other.
With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit eBay.com for terms.
Thank you. Okay, guys, this next segment is brought to you by Neutrogena. Remember we said we'd tell you when it was a sponsored segment? This is one. So they're sponsoring this and they help make it possible for us to bring you the podcast every week. We've always gone to Neutrogena for the facts on sun protection. So when they told us they had some interesting news about sunscreen, Jess and I were like, yes, please, we will talk about it and we will share it with you. So we're not really talking about their sunscreens. They make lovely sunscreens. This is more of like a public service announcement about some news. Jess, share the news. I was like, whoa.
So I saw the new poll that Neutrogena conducted this spring, and I read that 39% of Americans, 22 and over, say they're so focused on hand washing right now and avoiding all the germs that they're not even thinking about sunscreen application. And that seemed crazy, but maybe it's just like a temporary slip. I don't know.
I know. You think like, well, once the pandemic is done, everybody's going to go back to remembering to wearing sunscreen. So they let me talk to this woman is a prevention researcher and clinical psychologist who specializes in behavioral medicine, Sherry Pagodo, PhD. That's who she is. We had a lovely chat and she was saying, yes, of course, we all realize this is going to be happening because you're so focused on other health things. But she pointed me to this other study that was really interesting. They studied Danish gym goers, gym exercisers, I don't know what you would call them. And basically, if they were on vacation for a week and not exercising, you'd think, okay, when they get back, they go right back to exercising. For 2 months afterwards, there was decreased gym attendance, meaning just the act of like getting out of the habit of something, even when you think you're back in the habit, you might not be. So like she's very worried that this could mean for the rest of the summer, people aren't wearing sunscreen.
So I get that, you know, behavioral changes have lasting effects. But personally for me, like if I do one healthy thing, it kind of snowballs and it makes me act healthier all around.
Oh, like snowballs in a good way.
Yes, yes.
I was feeling snowballs is like a bad thing, but you mean like it rolls into more healthy stuff.
Yes, yeah. What would the positive thing? Because snowballs goes like in a downhill way, right? What's the uphill way?
I don't know. What, give me an example of this positive.
Okay, so this is the best example. Ready? I remember this commercial and it was for a healthy breakfast bar. And this woman started the day, you were like in her body and like looking through her eyes. And uh-huh. She had this healthy breakfast bar. And then you saw her like go to work and maybe like, you know, there was a bunch of donuts at the office and someone's like, you know, Susan, like donut. And she was like, no, thanks, Carl. And then the next thing was, you know, she was at, you know.
I literally worked with people named Susan and Carl. They like are in everybody's office. Go on.
Yeah. And you get it. Then like the next thing. And then she decided that she was going to, you know, walk instead of take the bus or whatever it was. But you could kind of, it was all these little small choices. And it was like one small choice leads to the next thing. And that's how I feel when I do something good for myself. I just sort of believe in myself to do the next thing.
It's funny because I feel the same way. I called it like a halo effect. I was talking to Dr. Pagodo about this. She called it like a synergy. Like you're just in the mode of being. She said it's definitely, she's noticed that with diet and exercise, but like there's no research that's true for sunscreen. But I feel like it should be. Like I feel like when I'm, like I've been keeping my sunscreen near the mask, like the face mask and the hand sanitizer. Mm-hmm. So it's like helping me remember to use it. And I feel like I've just been healthier all around because I'm like, okay, putting on the mask, that's a good thing. And honestly, like I've been flossing my teeth more because I'm like, just like all these weird little things.
Little things to just try to like keep you in check, especially right now, and keep your health in check. And sunscreen is a part of that.
Yeah. And also I was thinking about the mask. This just made me think of this. Like, can you imagine a mask tan? You know, like a farmer's tan, they call it here in the States. I don't know if they have that elsewhere in the world. But like when you're wearing a t-shirt and you have like that crazy arm. Like, are we going to get these face tans? Nobody wants that. Wear
probably
your sunscreen, you know?
So I asked our listeners, how do you remember to put on sunscreen? How do you keep up with this great healthy habit? And like you, Jen, a lot of it is about placement. You okay. said that you keep the sunscreen right by your mask. I have people putting it in their shoes, which is hilarious, right by the door.
Oh my gosh, that's funny. Mm-hmm.
I thought that was really cute. In their baby stroller, which I think is really smart because I think about that whenever I'm out with Lake.
Well, how convenient. You have a baby now, which means you'll be wearing more sunscreen because you have a baby stroller to push your sunscreen around in.
Exactly. And if the baby is old enough, yeah, keep the baby sunscreen in there too. That's important. Next to their keys. And then somebody else bought a huge jumbo bottle of sunscreen and they bought that and they spent the big money to get this jumbo bottle. So they're like, oh, I'm getting through this. I got to get through it by the end of the summer. something like that.
Like get your money's worth. I love it.
Yeah. Yeah. If you've invested that much, sure. So yeah, really good tips. It's on our Facebook group, our fan Facebook group.
Oh, cool. Maybe we'll keep them coming throughout the summer too. And honestly, thank you to Neutrogena first for the poll, because I did not know that was happening. But thanks to them for sponsoring this segment, because you know how important sun protection is to Jess and I. And we're just really proud to have them as a sponsor here on the show.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee and you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly.
When it comes to style and luxury, eBay gets it. They're making sure the things that you love are checked by experts. Not just any experts, specialized experts. Real people who love this stuff. With real hands-on authentication experience.
So when you see that shiny blue checkmark that says Authenticity Guarantee, shop with confidence. Every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. That's how you know that eBay's got your back.
Because when you finally step into those sneakers, put on that watch, get your real gold glow up, swing that handbag over your shoulder, or step out in that streetwear, you'll realize that feeling is unlike any other.
With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
So Amy Wexler is one of only a few physicians in the United States who is board certified in both psychiatry and dermatology. She graduated from Duke University and went to medical school at Cornell University Medical College. Then she completed her psychiatry residency, and as if that wasn't enough, from there she decided to do a second residency in dermatology. She's an adjunct assistant clinical professor in psychiatry at Weill Cornell Medical College. She's also the author of The Mind-Body Connection, which was published in 2008. It's such an excellent resource for anyone who wants to learn more about what we discuss in this interview. And with that, here's the interview. Dr. Amy Wexler, welcome to Fat Mascara.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me.
Oh, we need you. We need you right now. This is going to be a really timely topic I think our listeners are going to love. So I'm just going to start out right away. Let's talk about, you are both a psychiatrist and a dermatologist, so you're the perfect person to talk to us about this.
Thank you.
People are stressed out right now. I think it's safe to say heightened levels of stress from both the pandemic, social unrest, all the things going on in the world, their usual lives, money matters. And lots of people have chronic stress all the time. So can you just tell us, like, on a chemical level, what's happening when you're stressed? Like, what happens to your body and how is your skin even involved in that?
Sure, of course. So all these bad things happen when you're stressed. We can start with the brain. So there's a molecule called cortisol. And that's the molecule that goes up during the fight or flight response. And we need it to, because it gets us to run away from a danger, you know, in the savannah if we're being chased by a cheetah. Mm-hmm. But then that danger, either they catch us and we're dead, or we've gotten away in a few minutes. And then the cortisol level is supposed to go back down to normal. Heart rate will go back down to normal, all that. But when cortisol is getting pumped out from chronic stress over hours, days, weeks, and months, it does a lot of bad things to the body. What's interesting is that the brain and the skin are formed from the same embryologic layer. So there's so many interconnections. Yeah, when I learned that, I was like, oh, that makes so much sense in embryology. And the cortisol that's made makes its way to the skin really easily. There's so many vascular interconnections. Also, the skin actually probably makes its own cortisol. There's a couple studies on that. Cortisol does so many bad things. So it's called pro-inflammatory. Inflammation is really bad. So to the skin, cortisol does, it breaks down collagen. So that's why people feel like they can get a new wrinkle overnight when they're really stressed, and they can. It also causes acne. So acne is a disease of inflammation. So that's why everyone gets stress pimples. Lots of studies, like they've done so many studies on college campuses during exam time, they count pimples.
Wow.
And pimple counts go up, you know, 2-3-fold. It also messes with the skin's barrier. So the skin's a really good barrier at keeping the good things in and the bad things out. But the skin gets leaky when there's too much cortisol around. So it's called transepidermal water loss, TEWL. It just means the skin's leaky. It's leaking water. And in being leaky, it lets some stuff in that it shouldn't, just to the surface. So that's why some people are like, oh my gosh, like my normal products are now giving me rashes. Like, what's going on? Or someone who usually is like really kind of hardy skin and can try all sorts of different fragrances gets a rash. Hmm. Also, cortisol slips. Sorry, go ahead.
I was just going to ask about the inflammation thing because that's always confused me because I picture inflammation like, oh, I stubbed my toe and it's red and hot and swollen. But like, do your little cells in your skin, like if you can't see it on your face, are they like, are they getting swollen? What is that like cellular inflammation?
Sure. So yeah, so inflammation doesn't necessarily mean swelling that you can see, but it is microscopic swelling. So a bunch of years ago, cardiologists figure out that heart attacks aren't just caused by coronary arteries getting stuck with, you know, cholesterol. It's that cholesterol plaque sits there until it gets inflamed and swollen is when a heart attack happens. So similarly in the skin, inflammation in the cells breaks down collagen.
Right, right.
But it also, if you're thinking about a pore with a pimple, like that can make a pimple, acne is a disease of inflammation. So is psoriasis, so is eczema, just different cells get inflamed. You can't see the inflammation itself.
So you've mentioned acne a couple of times and its connection to stress. So I was doing a little research prior to our chat, and certainly, you know, over the years, you know, Jen and I, we meet with lots of people, and acne and the connection to depression has come up over and over again. There was a 2018 study where researchers found that patients with acne, we don't need a study to tell us this, have an increased risk with developing major depression. The risk for major depression was highest within 1 year of acne diagnosis, a 63% higher risk compared with individuals without acne. Do you think that people still, even though we're hearing this over and over again, still underestimate that acne has this major effect on mental health?
Yes, I do. It's underestimated all the time. And it's so sad to me because I see these patients all day long, every day, and they're suffering. It's real suffering. It's real depression. There's so many studies like that. And there's a great study, a few of them on Accutane. I love Accutane. It's like the strongest acne treatment. It gets a really bad rap for a couple of reasons. But some big studies have shown that during Accutane treatment, depression scores come all the way down and self-esteem scores go all the way up, which is what we always see.
Yeah, I think you mentioned that like it's underestimated. Just a quick personal anecdote. I know somebody who their child had such bad cystic acne. This is somebody who's close to me, but such bad cystic acne, terrible, terrible. And they, you know, this is a smart person. They said, oh, it's a phase, it's teenage years, they get over it. It's the chips. Like, I mean, they're going these old wives' tales, you know, like it's the sweat from the summer. Like, you know,
he doesn't wash his face.
Yeah, exactly. So what is that gap? Is it that they're not getting, I mean, we all have the internet now, or most of us do, not all of us, but you know, most of us have access to information. Is it the cost of getting to the dermatologist? Like, what is, I know we're kind of talking about two different things here, but there, depression is so serious with acne, and it's Accutane. I mean, I was on Accutane once. It's not like there is a generic, like it's not like this huge threshold to get the drug, right? Like it's
right.
I'm just trying to think about the hurdles to solve this problem. We know that depression leads to such more serious things. Like to me, this is a crisis.
I agree with you. I think depression in general is underestimated in teenagers, especially because teenagers are, quote, supposed to be moody, but that's not actually true.
Yeah.
And depression in teenagers looks a little different than in adults. Like when a teenager withdraws from his or her activities or like that's a really bad sign. They can, you know, anyway, and they're more irritable than adults who get depressed, just as a generalization, but it can look the same. And I think, you know, a lot of parents just think back to their own teenage life. And if their parents didn't take their acne seriously or like gave them 10 bucks to buy some Clearasil or they don't really remember very well, you know, it's very hard for some people to take it seriously. And I think it's their own psychology and their own upbringing and sometimes their own education level and their own ability to be insightful and empathic. Whenever a parent brings me a kid to treat, I always thank the parent. Mm. You know, you've done such a great thing for your child bringing him or her in here. Like it's a real gift.
I'm just thinking about people who are listening here that maybe don't have access to someone like yourself. What can they do if they see somebody suffering with very bad acne and, you know, consequentially, you know, maybe some depression?
That's their child?
Either their child or maybe it's even them listening.
Oh, well, first of all, a lot of people with acne and depression feel hopeless. And when you feel hopeless, then you don't try to get help. You think nothing can help me. So just knowing that there's always help, like acne can always be treated and always be improved upon. So can depression. Depression can take longer sometimes, and sometimes it's tricky. And with acne too, sometimes you have to play around with the medicines and it's a little bit of trial and error. It takes a little bit of time. But there's always hope. And the other thing I hear is a lot of people with acne feel like they're alone, like they're the only ones with such bad, you know, quote, really bad skin. Everyone else has clear skin. All my friends are clear, all that. If your friends have clear skin and you're a teenager, then you're either not seeing their acne because it's on their body and it's covered, or they've already had treatment because 92% of teenagers have acne.
Wow.
And the number's still in the 80s for 20 somethings. So it's so common, and yet people feel so alone with it, which makes me sad. So that's why I love to try to educate people about how, while it's so common, it doesn't mean you have to live with it, that it's like a normal rite of passage.
It's a medical condition. So if you do go to the doctor, the drugs to treat acne would be covered by insurance, correct?
The short answer is yes, if you're a teenager. Some insurance companies have made the arbitrary decision that after the age of 25, they're not going to cover acne medicines, which makes zero sense. Since acne is still really high for women until menopause, and for men, it could be their whole life. So if I have an insurance company that won't cover medicine, I mean, I fight it to get the medicine for the patient.
And what about another skin issue that is also very much connected to mental state is psoriasis. So that psoriasis I read has a 39% of increased risk of being diagnosed. If you have psoriasis, you have a 39% increase of depression, anxiety, 31% higher chance of being diagnosed with anxiety. What have you observed?
All of that. I mean, I think we've known all that for a long time. The thing about the skin is that it's on the outside, right? So if someone has an ulcer or suffers from migraines, they feel horrible, and not to discount that, but they don't have to deal with the world interacting with their illness.
Right.
But if someone has psoriasis on the outside of their body, it's very common on hands and arms, and it can take over your whole scalp and cause like tons of dandruff. It's also very uncomfortable. Or acne, if it's on the face, like it's hard to hide. So that interaction with the world becomes really difficult.
You're wearing your pain on your face.
Exactly. And psoriasis is associated with arthritis, which can be really debilitating, but you know, since I graduated from residency, that when I was a resident, that's when the first biologic treatment for psoriasis came out, which was called Enbrel. And since then, there's 30 of them now. So there were these amazing treatments that can really clear up skin. And talking about insurance, like many of them can be covered by insurance. Drug companies who make them have a program for people who don't have insurance, and they can get them. So if you can get to a doctor, get one of these medicines.
And if you can't get to the doctor, I'm just jumping ahead a little bit here. Like if you're able to in some way bring down your cortisol levels, yes, of course, you probably need medical help as well. But would that have a positive effect on these types of skin and conditions?
Yes, it always does, actually. But if someone has really bad psoriasis and that's causing them depression, I hate to put the onus on the patient to say like,
yeah,
okay, now you have to. But if someone's going through a stressful period, let's say they didn't have acne for a while, but they used to be acne prone, and they start breaking out, and they can be mindful and figure out, oh, what's going on in my life to, you know, cause this flare up. I think the cool thing about being mindful is that it's free, right? But it takes time and you have to be thoughtful. And I always talk about sleep because cortisol is at its lowest during sleep. And during sleep is when all the anti-inflammatory molecules are at their highest, those really great molecules that heal, like growth hormone and beta endorphins. And so if you bathe your skin in those for as long as possible, and for adults, you know, it's 7.5 to 8 hours a night. People like roll their eyes at me when I say that, but It's really important. Cat naps help too. Then you could heal these things faster for sure.
So this is good. When people tell me to meditate to have less stress, could I just like sleep a half an hour more?
Yes.
Yes. I like this advice, Dr. Wexler.
And if meditation feels like that's not for you, then you shouldn't do it.
I'll sleep. I like that.
Sleep is awesome.
Speaking of some other conditions that have a tie to stress, I'm not sure if this is your area of expertise, but I've always wanted to ask a guest at one of our interviews about this. So picking, like I'm a picker. I feel like literally everybody is a picker, but we just to different levels talk about how we pick our skin, our hair, our eyebrow hairs, friends that pick scabs, other people that pick, you know, mosquito bites or whatever. Can you explain why we as humans even have that urge? Like, why can't we just leave it alone?
I think picking is so interesting. Some people aren't pickers, really. They're rare, but some people really don't pick at their skin. And, you know, there's a whole spectrum. But I think it's about, part of it's about self-grooming.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I'm a crazy lover of chimpanzees. And I last was in Africa last year. And I'm like really into Jane Goodall and all that stuff. And I just sit there with the chimps and they're grooming each other because they're getting bugs off of each other. But also they groom each other when there are no bugs there to self-soothe and to soothe each other and to decrease anxiety levels. So there's definitely something to manipulating our bodies that is meant to soothe. And so, you know, people who you see like twirling their hair or inadvertently picking at something, it gives a little pleasure. And I think it does decrease your cortisol level. But then sometimes you can scar your skin and leave marks and cause a problem. And obviously, it can be problematic. But a lot of people do something. It's rare in this world for someone not to do something to their skin or their hair or their nails.
It's interesting that there's like a evolutionary biological reason we do that. You said that it can be problematic. So like, how do you know when a picking habit you might have is entering into the realm of, okay, we have a medical problem?
Well, first, how much time does it take during your day? If it's, you know, less than a minute, it's probably not going to be a problem. But if it's 15 minutes or more, I always think like, that's a lot of time to be picking.
Like each day. I mean, I've spent 15 minutes on like a pimple, like pre, post, pop, all that business, cleaning it up, you know. But you're talking about every day someone who's like going over their face and body.
Yes.
And how do you help these people?
Well, they have to have insight into it being a problem. So a lot of people pick in private and they never tell anybody. Sometimes I'll see it inadvertently. Someone comes in for a skin cancer check. So I'm examining their whole body and I see scabs. But patients know that I'm a psychiatrist and a dermatologist and they get referred to me for picking or they seek me out because it's bugging them. Some people pick in areas that are always covered by clothing so no one else would know. And it's the people who pick their faces, it's so hard to hide that.
Is there drugs? Like how? What would you tell, like if you have a friend or if you yourself are listening and you are one of these people and you're just like, oh, it's you know, a personality trait, but is there a way to fix that?
Well, sure. So there are some medicines that make picking worse. Like all the medicines for ADHD, like Ritalin, all those stimulants, can start picking. Like people can start picking. That's a side effect.
Interesting.
So that's going to make people don't often think about that. And there are other medicines that can make it worse. And then there are medicines that can help make it better. A lot of the antidepressants and anti-anxiety medications help it. Not that everyone needs medicine for this, but
right.
If someone's like listening now and realizing, oh, I kind of do that a lot, or I close myself in the bathroom and I'm in front of my magnifying mirror for, you know, 10 to 20 minutes and I'm late for a date or I'm late for work because I've kind of lost track of time in the bathroom, that's a sign, oh, maybe I should talk to somebody about that. And it can be a psychologist or a psychiatrist or a therapist. It doesn't have to be a dermatologist at first, though I often work with a psychologist if it's a really serious thing for the person.
So what about somebody who is just very focused about their appearance or very just too focused or maybe a little dysmorphic? How does somebody know if their thoughts are dysmorphic? And even people maybe who listen to this podcast, we love beauty. This is like something that we do for recreation. This is fun. But when do we know if the thinking becomes a little problematic? How can you kind of diagnose that?
It's pretty easy for me to diagnose when someone comes in. But the thing is, if a person's at home, many people with body dysmorphia don't have insight into it. Like if you think of anorexia as an extreme example of body dysmorphic disorder, it's the rare anorectic that knows that he or she has that issue. It often takes someone in their life to point it out to help. You never know sometimes. So there are people who go from plastic surgeon to plastic surgeon with a perceived imperfection that isn't there. And sometimes they'll get people to operate on them. And since there's no way for a doctor in LA to know that the doctor in Chicago has operated, you know, people can hide stuff and go, But good, thoughtful doctors sitting with the patient taking a good history can get a good sense of it. It's hard with those patients because they really believe that they're right. I can gently point out that maybe they think something is really bad or disfigured, but it's not. Like, I disagree with them and why. And it's rare in that moment for the person to say, oh, you're right, doc. Like, this is fine. You know, they usually need therapy for it.
But even like people who haven't gotten to that level, like, you know, I'm not talking about the kind of cat woman lady who's like, who's been jumping from surgeon to surgeon, but maybe like somebody that's just kind of a little too obsessed. I mean, beauty has gone from something that I think the beauty industry has exploded so much in the past 5-10 years, where now everybody's really into it, like all ages, everyone. And it's recreation and it's fun, but I think a lot of people take it very seriously and everyone's very into their image, like since cell phones and everything have become, now everyone has a profile. It's become something that I think it's very easy to, I've even questioned myself, like, am I too into this? Like, am I, you know, I think I have a pretty good grip on myself, but sometimes I wonder like how much mental space does this consume in my brain? And I think anyone who's perceptive can think like, how important is this stuff? So do you find yourself asking that question? Maybe not of yourself, but, you know, of just people who have walked through your office?
I do it to myself too. Yeah. Yes, both. And I think if someone's particularly stressed, they might be ultra focused for that moment on that perceived imperfection. And it just seems bigger and worse. But when I talk to them, it's like, oh, you know, relationships falling apart, work's bad, I'm not sleeping. There's almost always something behind that symptom. And then that's helpful to figure it out.
That's really interesting.
Can we talk about when it's not a medical problem? I feel like a lot of women and men, they talk to each other in this way that I found where they'll, like, your friend will say to you like, ugh, I hate my nose, or like, my skin's so wrinkly. And I look at these people and I'm like, you look fine/amazing. But I don't want to dismiss their concerns because clearly they're concerns, but I also don't want to offer platitudes. So my question is like, how do you talk to someone when they bring you their insecurities about their appearance in a way that isn't demeaning?
Right. So it's all about empathy. So you might want to be like, are you kidding me? Like, you look amazing. Or what is she or he talking about? But you'd be like, well, why do you think that? Like, what's going on? And they might be like, oh, well, I keep seeing all these photos on Instagram of so-and-so and they'll list a few people. And then you remind them that there are filters and photos that they think are just like candids or not candids. And just like when I was a kid reading Vogue magazine, thinking, oh my God, like, I'll never look like that. Well, they didn't look like that either without touch-ups and, you know, photoshopping and all that stuff. So I think part of it is the barrage of social media and photos and videos that are meant to look natural or like no makeup and all that. Like this whole thing about having no pores. Well, then you're not a human. Like, everybody has pores.
Yeah.
There's no, right? So, but people like often, oh, my pores are so huge. And you look, and then you say, well, are you looking at your skin in a magnifying mirror? Yes. Well, don't, because you don't really look like that.
So ask questions, I think, is that what you're saying? Like, don't just be like, oh, you're beautiful, don't worry about it.
Right, because then that person thinks, oh, she didn't understand me, she didn't hear me, and they just still feel crappy. They feel worse because they still have that feeling about themselves, and now they think, oh, and you don't understand them.
That's good advice. So I read this thing once, this writer Gia Tolentino wrote, she was buying like an exfoliating serum, and she said, am I buying a cleanser or a psychological safety blanket? And I was like, oh, that is ringing true to me. I think a lot of women find a lot of psychological comfort in buying skincare products and using them. Could that be actually true? And like, why and how would like having a product be comforting mentally?
Oh, I think it's totally true. I call it hope in a bottle.
So does the industry, but like, you mean like real mental hope.
There's a lot of parts to it. So first of all, some of these products are expensive. And if someone spends the money on herself, it's a good feeling. I was able to buy that for myself. This product is so amazing. And I was able to buy it and I saved up and it's going to be awesome. So there's first that thought, well, okay, I'm doing something nice for myself. And then the packaging is a beautiful and the marketing and you buy into it because it says like, it's going to lift or it's going to, you know, it's going to take years off your, whatever it says, whatever it
promised. I'm already excited to buy it. I'm like, what is it? What is it, Dr. Wexler?
And marketing, like there's a whole psychology of marketing, right? It means something. And so there's this whole placebo effect of I've bought something, I spent money on it. The more expensive it is, maybe the better it is. And it's special and it smells good. and or it smells bad, so it must be really good for me, right? It smells medicinal. There's that whole thing. And then if the product has a nice like sensorial feel to it, then there is that experience of applying it and feeling good. This is before it's even done anything to your skin, right? So you've probably lowered your cortisol level a bit. You've probably lowered your heart rate and your blood pressure and you're just feeling good. And that's a good moment. And whether or not that product's really doing anything, as long as it's not hurting you, I think that's a real boost. And I'm okay with it. I don't like people to spend their last dime on products. Like that's terrible. And I hear those stories, like so sad to me. But for the most part, people don't do that.
It's more of that monkey self-care. Like we're touching ourselves with the serum. I totally get it. Even when you were talking, Jess's eyes were like relaxing and closing.
Oh, I was going to a place. I was going to my fantasy bathroom that I've built in my head. There's like, there's an elevated tub. There are plants all around it. There's a huge double sink.
Your happy place.
That sounds awesome.
So now that we've all like pictured our perfect bathroom and we want to apply all these products.
I'm in the tub. You guys just carry on.
Okay. She's in the mental tub. So what are some of the things that you do your self-care with? Like skincare, sure, but also like makeup and hair care.
So I'm not great with makeup. I've taught myself and my daughter's taught me a lot of stuff on applying eye makeup pretty well.
How old are your daughters?
My daughter Zoe is 21 and my son Jaden is 18.
Okay. Okay.
And Zoe's like really good at makeup and she can do like that perfect cat eye eyeliner that she learned on YouTube like a few years ago. She's sort of can do it in both eyes perfectly. She did my toes last weekend. So she's really much better at that stuff than I am, but she's taught me stuff. But it's funny because I was a tomboy growing up and never wore makeup. I remember my dad telling me like in seventh grade, you know, Aime, I think you should start wearing some light blue eyeliner like your friends.
Oh, that I've never heard. It's usually the opposite.
I don't want to wear light blue eyeliner. But anyway, so it's what's funny is that I've been working with Chanel as their skincare consultant for almost 10 years. And my friends from high school tease me because they're like, seriously, Miss Tomboy? Like, and now you're Chanel? But I've gotten into it. And I've learned a lot from the Chanel team and all that stuff. So I don't wear makeup on my face, but I always wear sunscreen and I always wear moisturizer. Well, it's funny because in quarantine, I stopped wearing any makeup and now I'm seeing patients, but I'm wearing a mask. So I don't even have to worry about blush or anything. I just put a little under eye concealer and mascara and I go.
Eyes only. So what, do you have a favorite sunscreen?
So during the year when I'm in the city, I wear the Chanel UV Essential 50. Do you guys know
that
one?
Oh, is that the shaky, shaky one? The little shaky one?
Yeah, you shake it up. And it's so cool because it has 17.1% zinc oxide in it, but it rubs in. It's like really cosmetically elegant. But it's a tiny bottle. It's pretty thin. And when I'm at the beach, I usually layer a bunch of sunscreens because my skin is so fair.
Does that help? Put like, is it a different product? Because they have different like.
Yes.
Oh, okay. So you're getting all the wavelengths covered.
I'm getting all the wavelengths covered and I'm reapplying every hour like a crazy person. But look how fair I am.
Very fair.
I am. And I have some melasma, which is that like darkening of the skin from the sun and birth control pill and pregnancies and stuff. And it hates the sun. So I have to be really careful. So I have some sunscreens from France, mostly the Anthelios ones, the La Roche-Posay, but I only like the ones from France. I have some sunscreens from Australia, one called Invisible Zinc. And then in the US, I've got the Chanel one. And then there are some much better zinc ones from the US right now, like even Aveeno and Neutrogena makes them. Zinc only sunscreens and zinc blocks UVA and UVB rays like right away and doesn't clog pores. You don't have to worry about acne.
Oh, is that why you like zinc? You keep saying zinc, but I was like, I wonder why zinc is so great.
Yeah, zinc is so awesome because it works right away, blocks UVA and UVB, doesn't clog pores, can't be allergic to it. It's a mineral and it's not bad for coral reefs.
We're going to go get some zinc for sure. And before we let you go though, we do this thing with all of our guests. We ask them five quick questions, like a speed round, no pressure. This is meant to lower your cortisol levels, Aime.
Okay, I'm taking a deep breath. Chill.
Jess, do you want to take it away? Ask the question.
I'm ready. Okay. I feel refreshed. I feel rejuvenated.
Oh, how was the mental tub? That was nice.
It was great. I'm designing it in my mind. I don't have a house yet, but I'm designing this bathroom in my mind that is just for me. It's like completely all about serenity. I cannot wait to show you. Okay.
That's awesome.
All right. So the Fat Mascara 5 questions we always ask. What is the first beauty product you fell in love with?
I'm such a nerd. It was a body moisturizer because I had really, really bad eczema and dry skin as a kid.
Oh,
and
I
know, my mom got me this Vaseline intensive care, and it was called dermatology formula.
Oh my gosh, that's so great.
It's meant to be.
I know. They discontinued it like 10 years later, and I thought my life was over, but then I found Cetaphil, like, came out. But not really a beauty product, but it really, since I was a kid, I have moisturized my body, my face too, after every single shower of my whole life.
So you have to do it while the skin is damp, right?
Yeah, I shower a towel off, and then the skin just acts like a sponge and sucks it in. And it only takes like 1 to 1.5 minutes to do my whole body. So people who say they don't have time, like, I've timed it. You have a minute and a half.
I know. We have no excuse. Okay. That's always my excuse. I don't have time. I got to do it. Who is a celebrity that you haven't met, but you just know you'd be best friends with?
Ruth Bader Ginsburg. I'm dying to meet her, and we would totally hit it off.
I love this. Yes. I love this. We haven't gotten her yet. I mean, we don't have a lot of dupes. I just like love that you said that. Okay. What's your most indulgent snack? And be specific. Your favorite indulgent snack.
I would say Malamars.
Nice.
Oh, it's the best cookie.
Right?
Do you put it in the fridge?
Sometimes, although I don't love the marshmallow and the graham cracker getting so hard.
Oh, well, you can't find them right now. It's summer. They only sell
but
them.
But I stock up.
Nice. For people around the world, so they don't know, they only sell them in the fall and winter because they melt in shipment if it's warm out.
That's right.
That's for our Australian and UK listeners. Go on, Jess.
Oh, love a Malamar. Love a Malamar. Okay. What song pumps you up?
Steve Winwood, While You See a Chance.
We haven't gotten that one yet either, but
I'm probably dating myself.
No, we've gotten a lot of, we've hit all the eras. We have to start the Fat Mascara Spotify pump up list.
Oh, I would love that.
And what do you want to raise a wand to? And by raise a wand, that is like, what product are you obsessed with? TV show, movie, whatever it is.
So I have an answer for all those, but I'm kind of preoccupied right now with Black Lives Matter. Kind of can't think about anything else.
And raise a wand to the movement.
Raise a wand to the movement, for sure.
Excellent answer. You've been a delight. I feel like there was a lot of actionable advice in this interview, lot of things I'm going to do too, and things for our friends and family that we can help them with.
Yeah, this was a great conversation. Thank you so much, Dr. Wexler.
Thanks, Jess. Thanks, Jen, for having me. This is great.
It is time to raise the wand. Remember when I used to sing Raise the Wand? I'm not going to do that for you.
Oh God, I forgot about the singing. Our listeners are probably like, no.
Longtime listeners are like, please don't, please don't. Okay, so let's raise a wand. First up, we have a listener raise a wand with a little commentary too. Like we told you last week, please just call us or send us your voice memos, whatever you're feeling and thinking. This is Trisha Young. Take it away, Trisha.
Jen and Jess, hi. I'm leaving you guys a message for the first time. I want to say your podcast is just spot on, incredibly amazing. I am a licensed esthetician in the state of Massachusetts, and I work in sales and hair care with salons in Massachusetts. So I started listening to you probably right before COVID, and I drive for a living, so normally I'd listen to you all day long, but now I just get the pleasure of listening really on my drives to and from the forest where I spend all of my time walking. But I just wanted to let you know, I love your podcast, and being in the beauty industry, it's always great to hear about everything, obviously. I have my hands in everything. I read everything. One thing I wanted to mention is you got to check out Zit Sticka. And yes, I said that with a Boston accent. I don't have a Boston accent, but it's called Zit Sticka, and it's brilliant. I wish I invented it. It is for a blemish. It sticks right onto the top of the blemish. It has little teeny needles in it, and it pokes into the blemish and feeds really good ingredients to kill and clear up that one blemish. You got to check it out. They're not cheap, but they are rocking amazing. So thanks for all you do. Hopefully you can throw this on one of your podcasts and talk about Trisha Young gives you Zit Sticka information. Peace.
Trisha, I love it. I love the way you pronounce Zit Sticka. I can tell you those products, that is really cool. They're not like needles. They're like made of, they're made of the ingredient, and they barely hurt when you put the stickers on. So don't think it's like a needle, but very good product. Nice raise a wand. If you guys want to send us your raise a wands, you can email a voice memo to info@fatmascara.com, or you can always call us. Our number is...
Hit it, Jen.
One day I'm going to make you say it. 646-481-8182. Jess, what are you raising a wand to?
I am raising a wand to finally a dupe.
For, give me your dupe.
For my discontinued Maybelline purple eyeliner. So,
oh my God, our biggest link out ever on the blog. So many people have you clicked on this liner that Jess loves.
So it was this purple liner. I'm forgetting like the name of it. Maybe it was like Moonlit Purple or something, but it was, it doesn't matter because you can't even buy it anymore, but it was a shimmery lilac longwear pencil from Maybelline from about 2 years ago, maybe 3 years ago. And they discontinued it. I don't know why you guys did that, Maybelline. I know that I've talked to Claire, the publicist, on numerous occasions about this, and there's nothing Maybelline can do, but they said goodbye. And I put it on our Instagram because it was like the last stroke in the pencil. I did my makeup like a month or two ago. And I said, do you guys have any dupes? Well, you guys are on the case, our FM detectives. I have now my Marc Jacobs Beauty, the gel eye pencil. I think it's the highliner. In
yes, excellent eye pencil.
Lunatic. L-U-N.
Lunatic.
And, yeah, I don't love the name, guys. Don't love the name. I'm not a lunatic.
Oh my God, I'm so nerdy. There's a moon reference in both of them. Maybelline Moonlit Purple and then Luna.
I think it was called Moonlit Purple. I might have made up Moonlit Purple, but it was something purple.
Let's just pretend.
And it was the Lunatic. It's L-U-N-A and then like in parens, tick. It is a lilac with silver sparkle in it. And it sounds like it's made for teens and tweens. It's not. It really looks great on like all ages. It's not too like clubby. It's great. I'm wearing it now. It really is like the ultimate dupe. It's a little expensive though. It's $26 and it's also twist up.
Those eyeliners are worth it. Ooh, they're good. They like don't drag or pull or skip at all. Like, especially if you have the crepey lids like I'm getting, like even with little wrinkles, you can still get a really smooth
it's
line.
It's so great. And you don't have to sharpen it like and get the shavings everywhere. It's a twist up liner.
Love it. Okay. I'm raising a wand to a foot file. Here it is. I brought a visual for you. Girl, my feet are a mess. So between I've been wearing the cast or the boot, whatever, for the broken foot. I think because the other foot is now getting harder working because it's carrying the weight of everything because the other foot's not working. The calluses on the front of my toes, I don't know if it's also because it's summer and you could see them more. You know, I had the electronic file, which I used for the bottom, but there was nothing. Like my second toe, they're so crooked now, my feet. The second toe is bigger than the first toe and it just gets this weird callus on the top. The only thing that I have found that works is the Chechi, I hope I'm pronouncing that right, personal care product, razor file. It's a diamond laced file. I have had this thing, I want to say 7 years, maybe 6 years, 7 years. I have never gotten a new file for it. It has never gone down. It's like got diamond powder on it. And you just file it in the shower when your feet are damp and it gets rid of any callus, even those fancy electronic one I have. Like doesn't do it the way this thing does. So it's $24, but I am telling you, you never have to replace this thing. It has truly been in my shower for it's probably more than 7 years. So raise a wand to this. I'll put a link on the
blog. Do you do it while the water's running or after when the shower's done?
Do it while the water's running at the very end of the shower while it's warm because you'll get on it like the little bits of dead skin. Ooh. So then I want to keep rinsing it under the warm water while I keep going. And it doesn't ever hurt. You know how some of them are just like kind of painful and then the pumice stones, they're just like, they don't cut it. They don't cut it. I need some of this Chechi shit. It's good. So I'll link out to it so you guys can have smooth feet all summer too.
Awesome. Thanks.
Thanks for listening. Our show is produced by At Will Media.
Be sure to follow us on Instagram at Fat Mascara. Go to fatmascara.com to get a link to our private Facebook group and hit us up.
If you have a beauty question, you can send it to us at info@fatmascara.com. We'd love if you send us a voice memo. We also want to hear your raise a wands. Send those to the same address, info@fatmascara.com.
And if you like what you're hearing, please leave us a review on iTunes. Just throw us some stars.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight. and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.